We're turning you tonight to Genesis chapter 8. We have entitled our message, The Returning Dove. And just let's unite our hearts together in prayer as we come to preach upon this passage. Let's all pray. You pray the Lord to speak to your heart tonight. Not necessarily the one beside you, but your own soul. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. Thank You, Lord, for Thy grace that finds us in the house of God this evening. Lord, in our unsaved days, it may have been, Lord, we would have been stuck somewhere else on a Sunday evening. But we thank You, Lord, that Thou hast brought us into Thy house tonight, both saint and sinner alike. We ask that Thou would bless us as we come to Thy Word that we have read. And we thank You, Lord, for the Book of Beginnings. We thank You, Lord, we come to the Creator God who made all things out of nothing and all was very good. And Lord, yet we read that when Thou didst look upon that creation, that it see that the thoughts of men were evil continually. Lord, Thou dost judge the world, the old world, with a flood. But we thank the Lord there's an ark. We thank the Lord there's an ark for the sinner tonight, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that men and women would look beyond a preacher or a church. They would look to the Savior. Bless us this night as we come to this passage. Give me that help that I need from the sanctuary. Fill us with Thy Spirit and with power, that I might preach as thus, and thus saith the Lord. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Scriptures have much to say about God's creation. We know, of course, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. And throughout the pages of Holy Writ, oftentimes we're confronted with various animals of that creation. We know from our study in the Shepherd's Psalm, for example, that the sinner is likened to the common sheep. And that for good reason. For the prophet Isaiah, in this great chapter of 53, he said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." The characteristic of the sheep is just reciprocated in the sinner. It's just seen in every one of us by birth and by nature. And so we ought not be surprised that we're likened to the sheep. But not only is there much to be learned from the sheep, but from the many other creatures that the Holy Ghost has included in His Word. There are the various birds, for example, that are mentioned in the Scriptures. And I know there are those who have a hobby of watching the birds and seeing what sort of birds they can see. It is in the book of Job that God reminds them of the instinct that the great Creator God has given to the eagle. The eagle has the ability to fly up into the heavenlies and to make its nest on the crag of the rock, the very top of the place. The eagle has the ability to be able to see things a great way off. And men and women, in those things, the believer ought to resemble the eagle. For we are those who are built upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And it ought to be our desire to rise above the carnal world and to dwell in the heights with God, as well as having that vision, that keen vision for the souls of the lost who need God's salvation and who need the precious blood of Christ to wash them from their sin. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. We're to be like the eagle. The peacock is also mentioned in Job. And that's a bird that God has given goodly wings unto. The ostrich is a bird that God hath deprived of wisdom. And hence the ostrich lays her eggs in the sand and she forgets about them. And she doesn't take note that they may be trodden upon by the foot of man. And so there are lessons that God would teach us through His creation. And that is seen when we come into this passage which brings us into the ark. For Noah, who found grace in God's sight, was directed to build the ark for the saving of all who would ever enter into it. And into that ark there went two of every sort, and there was the unclean and the clean animals as well, the male and the female, as God had commanded them, and as God by His providence was to bring them every one to that ark. And when the flood was over and had destroyed every living thing outside the ark, God was to remember Noah and the animals with him. That's what we read in the words of verse 1. God remembered Noah. And that speaks of His faithful love according to His covenant promises. Oh, you can just imagine Noah and how endless those days and weeks must have seemed since the rain ceased and the noise of the waters lapping around that ark. Had God forgotten about Noah? No, God never forgets His people. But just as Noah went into the ark at God's bidding, so he would remain in it and only leave it at God's bidding. But it was after the ark had rested upon Arafat, and while the waters were decreasing, that Noah was to send out two birds. And it is to the dove that I want us to concentrate our thought upon this evening. I want to take verse 9 as the words of my text. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. The returning dove. Let me show you, first of all, her restlessness. For that which confronts us foremost with respect to this dove is that it wasn't able to find rest for the sole of its foot. That's what we read in verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. While the dove was in the ark, there was not only safety and there's not only shelter, but there was also rest to be found. And you think, men and women, of the countless numbers of animals which were not in that ark and they were destroyed from off the face of the earth. Chapter 7 and verse 23 tells us, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. But the animals, including the dove in the ark, were those who wanted for nothing. They weren't destroyed. They were safe. They were sheltered. They were at rest. But when this morning came, when the dove was sent forth, she could find no rest for her foot. And we might suggest why that was so. She could find no rest for the sole of her foot because of the description of this bird. Verse 9 tells us the description. It was a dove. And a dove is not a raven. For a raven was sent forth firstly by Noah, as you see in verse 7. He sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. A raven is that which will eat flesh. And that makes the miracle, of course, of God's provision of Elijah at the brook Cherith all the more wonderful. For when you consider that the ravens were to bring God's servants meat and bread twice a day, and God who created them could control their very instincts, so much so that not one would ever have suspected anything in seeing a raven with a piece of meat in his mouth. How the ways of God are past finding out, how His wonders are without number. He nullified the instinct of the raven in order to feed His servant at that drying brook. The raven is known for its incessant habit of flying about, looking for the meat to satisfy its keen appetite. And therefore the raven being sent from the ark, it was to act differently from the dove. It was able to go forward. It was able to rest in the highest peaks of the mountains, which were beginning to be uncovered. It was able to feed on the carcasses of the flesh that were strewn from the old world. It would rest in the carrion. But not so the dove. For the dove found no rest for the sole of its foot. And to further understand this, we can state something about its distinction. You see, the dove is a bird which is known for its harmlessness, and it takes pride in the beauty of its plumage. It's a bird which will not feed like the raven upon dead flesh. It is that which is conscious in keeping itself clean. It's known for being timid, being having a gentle and an affectionate disposition. In other words, it is totally distinct. It is totally different from the raven and from other birds. That distinction is to the extent that the raven was considered to be an unclean bird, and therefore unable and unfit by the Levitical law to be eaten. You turn with me back or over to Leviticus chapter 11, you will see that to be the case. You read, that, for example, the words of verse 13. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 13. And the Lord says through His servant Moses to the people, "And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten, they are an abomination. The eagle, and the ostrich, and the osprey," verse 15, "every raven after his kind." So the raven was considered as to be unclean, and it was not to be taken to be eaten. But no such distinction or definition was placed on the dove. Indeed, the dove in some cases could be offered as a sacrifice in the temple. And it was the doves that were brought as an offering when the Savior, the Christ child, was to come in and brought into the temple at 8 days of age. And we read about it in Luke chapter 2. And the significance of Mary offering the doves was testimony to their poverty. They couldn't afford to bring the lamb. But there was provision made for the poor, and they could bring the doves. And men and women, it reminds us that he who was rich yet became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Born in a lowly manger, born into a lowly home where there was poverty abounding. And yet he owned the cattle in 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. That's our Savior. These are the distinctions of the dove. And note also that her restlessness was due to her discouragement. She went forth from the ark looking for somewhere to rest her foot, looking for that which she could feed upon, and also for somewhere she could take shelter in. But alas, the testimony of the Scriptures is that she found no rest for the sole of her foot. And dear loved one, as you picture in your mind's eye this dove going forth from the shelter and from the safety and from the rest of that ark and flying about that new earth and thinking that before her was a place which she could land, only to realize that it was covered in mud and filth of the waters, then you, I believe, have a type before you of the sinner saved by sovereign grace and yet has wandered from the Lord. You see, there are those tonight in our meeting and maybe within our congregation, and while their salvation is not in question, for they have dwelt in the only ark, Christ Jesus, there's been that time in their life's experience when they were born again. They were saved by God's grace. There was a change wrought in their life and they walked with the Lord. While there's no question over that, yet for some reason, like the silly dove that has gone forth, there has been the wandering away and there's been the taking to the wing. And tonight finds them away from their rest and they're cold of heart and they're soiled in their testimony for God. You see, that is a true backslider. And I want to tell you that if this is your description, then you will never find rest in that which you are seeking it in. There's none but Christ that can satisfy. None other name for me. Oh yes, there was a time in your unsaved days when the old places and the old pleasures would have given you much satisfaction, for they were the ways of sin, but they can never do so again. For while you may have had the ways of the raven once, you are now one whom Christ has given a new nature to and a distinction to, which sets you apart from the rest of the world. You see, I read in Titus chapter 2, in the words of verse 12 and following, they speak of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in salvation if you're truly born again tonight. Titus 2 in the verse 12, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the change that Christ wrought in the soul. And that being so, you are forever spoiled for the world, and its filth and its mire do not do well with your soul any longer. And whatever you put your hand to, and whatever you would seek after, there's no rest for the sole of your foot. You may have thought that you would have been satisfied again, but the world and its pleasures are empty to you. There is a hollow sham about them. Oh, it's not that they have changed. But you see, the grace of God that has reached you has caused you to be changed. And you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you have that different nature now that this world can never satisfy. For if God has saved you, and if God has chosen you to be His, and has put His Spirit within you, then you will always be restless in this world. For this world is enmity against God. And tonight you're one who is disappointed, and tonight you're one maybe who's discouraged, and like the dove in my text, you're one who cannot find rest for the sole of your foot. In fact, maybe even you are one who is weary in your flight tonight. And you've gone off from the Lord, but you haven't been satisfied. But the Lord would say one day, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Dear loved one, with Christ tonight, yet one who's afar off, that's where you'll find your rest again. It's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you'll notice her restlessness. But you'll also notice her return. With the dove unable to find rest for her foot in the world, what did she do? We read that she was to make her return. Verse 9, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. It may have been that she was tainted with the filth of the earth. It may have been that she was wet by the waters which were still upon the face of the ground. But in that state she was to make her return. It wasn't a case of seeking to clean her wings. It wasn't a case of attempting to remove the filth before she returned. The dove returned just as she was. And dear loved one, cold of heart and backslidden in soul, that is the way in which you are to return to your first love this evening. There are those who will make attempts at trying to clean up their life and their act first. But every moment that there is a waiting, and every moment there's a hesitating and returning, it only but increases the misery for the soul that is away from the Lord. And bear in mind, please, that the most miserable creature that you'll find on this earth is a true backslider. For you see, once they've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, but they can't find that anymore in the world. The word of the Lord states in Jeremiah 3:22, return ye backsliding children and I will heal your backslidings. It doesn't say repentant children. It doesn't say consecrated children. It says return ye backsliding children. The backslider, knowing and feeling the misery in their soul, is called to return just as they are. The dove, having found no rest, was to catch sight again of that ark. And she knew that therein was to be found rest, and she knew therein was to be the place of safety. And so in weary wing, she was to make her way back. And we can only suggest that having tried all the day long to find rest, she would make the most direct line back to that ark. That's the import of those opening words. She couldn't find rest anywhere for the sole of her foot. And I would that you, dear wandering loved one, would get a fresh glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your Savior. Indeed, I might say this, it'll do us good, every one of us good, if we each one get a fresh glimpse of Christ. You remember Peter? And Peter was prepared to die for the Lord if need be. And all the other disciples, they joined in an assent to his proclamation that he would die for the Lord. But yet he was to feel miserably. When that hour of temptation came upon him, he was to deny the Lord with oaths and with curses. And we read that it was when the cock was to crow the third time that the Savior turned and looked upon him. I want you to listen to this verse, Luke 22, and you'll find it in verse 61. It's a tremendous verse. It simply says this. Let me read verse 60 to give you the context. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. The Lord simply turned. He didn't have to say anything. He simply looked upon Peter. And what a look that was. What a gaze. But you see what we read in the rest of the verse? And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." What a look that proved to be for Peter. It was a look which was enough for him to recall the word of the Savior to his own soul. A look which caused him to realize that he had sinned. He had fallen into the trap that the devil had laid. His eye was to catch a fresh glimpse of the eye of Christ. Peter saw the Lord looking at him. The Savior merely turned and looked. And Peter went away bitterly, and he wept over what he had done. That fresh glimpse of Christ was all that he needed. And dear friend, if only by the power of God's Spirit you were to remember afresh the word of the Lord to your soul when you first were saved. And a sacrificial love that meant him laying down his life on that cross so that your soul might have peace and rest in believing. If only you were to catch a fresh glimpse of Christ tonight, the one who loved you, the one who gave himself for you. The one who loved you even unto the death of the cross so that you might be saved from the coming storm of God's wrath. If only you were to catch a fresh glimpse of Christ, then you would just realize how foolish you have been in wandering away from Him and trying again to find satisfaction in this old world. A fresh look to Christ will be enough to cause you to see your sin. Was that not so with the prodigal son who went into the far country? And I know the type is not an exact type with the dove that I'm bringing to you tonight, because the prodigal son's not a backslider. He's just an unsaved soul. But there are lessons that we can draw nevertheless from him. It was there in that far country that he sought to find rest and satisfaction, but it proved to mock him until he's brought to the very lowest of Ab and he's feeding amongst the swine. It was then, just like the dove, afar off and famished with no food, that the prodigal began to consider afresh the Father's house and the blessings that were enjoyed therein. And we read in Luke chapter 15 in the words of verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." Dear loved one, tonight afar off, I emphasize again to your heart that your soul can never be fed. Your soul will never be satisfied with the husks of this world. But not only that, but it was when he began to recall the Father's house that he realized how foolish and how sinful he had been. Verse 18 of that chapter says, "I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Did he go out and buy a new suit? Did he go out and try and seek to clean up his life first? No, but like the dove, he simply made his way for the Father's house, just as he was. The dove just came and returned as she was. I believe also her return was also timely. We have reason to suggest from this passage that Noah in the ark, and even before the tables of the commandments was given in Exodus 20, that he was one who kept the Sabbath day. You see, you'll note that in the process of sending out the dove, that he does so at an interval of every 7 days. We read that. We read it there in verse 10, "He stayed yet other 7 days." Read it in verse 12, "He stayed yet other 7 days." Those are not just empty words. Those are words that indicate to us that Noah had a respect unto the Sabbath day. And I believe we can glean from verse 11 that the dove was not only sent forth in the morning of that day, but her return was to be in the evening. And we can see it was a timely return. But what about you? The word of the Lord has gone forth to your heart many a Sabbath morning and evening. And God has preserved you, and God has enabled you to hear that word again to your soul. And you know those things in your life are not what they used to be. And I'm speaking to the backslider tonight, primarily. You know it is not what it used to be with you and the Lord. You don't have the sense of the Lord's presence with you as you used to have. Your experience with the Lord is something in the past. I wonder this Sabbath evening, is it going to find a timely return for some wandering saint of the Lord? There's a rest for you. There's a refuge. But it will only be realized when you return to the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and your first or your best love. And if I'm preaching to the true prodigal, to the soul yet unsaved, I want to tell you there's a timely time now to come to the Savior. Not to wait to another Sabbath evening. For the Lord says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of God's salvation. This is the right time for you to repent and to turn unto God and to your Father's house for salvation. I wonder, will it be such a Sabbath evening of God's restoration in some loved one? We have noted her restlessness. We have noted her return. And I want you to see her reception. The closing words speak something of the beautiful picture that was witnessed when the dove was to make her return. You'll notice from it in verse 9 that Noah was waiting for her. He had been at the window and looking out for her. The place where she had left the ark through that window was the place that Noah was to be found waiting for her return. Noah was just like the father of the prodigal son who saw his son coming from afar off. And so it was with Noah. His dove was returning to her rest. For that is the meaning, isn't it interesting? That's the meaning of Noah's name. It means rest. She was returning to her refuge in the ark, and because Noah cared and because Noah loved her, that is why he could be waiting for her return. And my dear friends, so it is with Christ. So it is with our heavenly rest. His love for His people is one which is everlasting. It is a love which is eternal, and He longs not only to find the sheep who are lost, but those which have wandered from the fold. And I want you to consider that. That Christ's love for your soul backslider, it hasn't changed any. All because you've wandered away. All because you've gone into bypath meadow. All because you've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. His love is everlasting. His love is eternal. It's unchangeable. For those are the attributes of God Himself. And so while you have left off your love for Christ, and while you have fallen out of love with Him, and you've tried to get something else into your life, His love for you is still the same. And it is to the place where you have left off with the Lord that He waits. And to where you must return to Him in repentance. I say, sir, maybe it's in the closet. Maybe it's taking down the good book and the time of prayer, and you've left that off, and life has got so busy that you've missed out on it a few nights last week and a few nights in the week before, and you're left off with God. You need to get back to where you left off in repentance of your sin. And what's more, her reception was one which was welcoming. For not only did Noah wait, but he was there to put forth his hand and took her, it says in verse 9. It didn't matter that she was wet. It didn't matter that she was covered with the filth of the earth. That hand of Noah was still welcoming, that it didn't turn her away nor deny her access back into the ark again. And dear friend, God waits to be gracious to you as well. His powerful hand is able to reach you where you are. His precious blood is able to cleanse you again from your backslidings and cause you to be in a right standing with God. He will welcome you back unto Himself. And the Lord is able to restore unto you the years that the locust has eaten. With outstretched hand, the Lord is able to draw His wandering dove back unto Himself. You see, the reception which this dove received was one which was complete. For the verse says, "But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark." The scene is one of Noah leaning forth and laying hold upon that weary dove and embracing her tenderly and lovingly, and he drew her unto himself. What a blessing for the soul tonight who will know the gospel embracing him and the Savior laying hold upon them afresh, and again you knowing what it is to have those everlasting and those loving arms of the Savior underneath and around about you. That one tonight who has become weary with being afar off from the Lord, that they would know His hand laying hold upon them and pulling them in unto Himself. You see, I read in Jeremiah 31 and verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Her reception was complete. It was right back into the ark again. And so it can be for the backslider this evening. You can again know the blessing and the reality of your union in Christ, which is unable to be severed, which Christ has purchased on the cross of Calvary for a sinner like you. That's the welcome that awaits the soul that has wandered away. And the call that is heard from the ark, Christ Jesus, tonight to your heart is this: return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Backslider, has the Lord ever disappointed you? Has the Lord ever let you down? He's dealt bountifully with thee. And he calls, return. Return, O my soul. He says in the words of Song of Songs, chapter 2 and 14, O my dove, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. He's missed hearing your voice in prayer. He's missed seeing your face in that quiet place, in the church meetings. He's missed seeing you in the prayer meeting. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. I wonder tonight, will you return? May God help you to do so. And if you're never saved, never born again of God's Spirit, never washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, then seek the only refuge for your soul tonight. Seek Christ, the only ark. The only ark from God's wrath against sin that is yet to come. The only safe place for your soul. Seek Christ and be saved tonight and be washed in His precious blood. For you see, in that ark, we read that it was covered with pitch. And on the outside of the ark, it was covered with pitch. As God looked upon that ark, He saw what Noah saw as he looked up in the ark. And he was depending upon it. And the ark was covered with the pitch. And I bring this little thought out to you. You see that word pitch? It's the word kaphar. It's the word for atonement in the Old Testament. And where is there salvation? Where is there safety for your soul, sinner? Nothing and nowhere apart from the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The precious blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. When God looks upon you tonight, He sees you in your sin. When God looks upon His people tonight, He sees them in the blood. The atoning blood of His dear Son. What are you depending on tonight for heaven? I trust it's the blood. If not, come now. Come now and seek Christ. And be saved. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Soul is troubled tonight. You can be restored to the Lord just where you are. Sinner, you can be saved just where you sit. But if you need help tonight, if you need assistance, we'll gladly meet with you. Open up the Scriptures to you. Point you to the Savior. But all that you would come tonight and be saved. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. We thank You, Lord, for the picture of the dove. And, oh God, the thought that we have considered of the backslider that has wandered away from the ark. And they find no rest for the sole of their foot in this old world. And we pray tonight, Lord, that Thou would draw them by the cords of love. They might be drawn back to the Savior. And I would restore unto them the years that the locust has eaten. And tonight, Lord, ere they leave this house, that, Lord, again, Thou would hear their voice. And Thou would see their countenance. O God, speak to the unconverted. Those, Lord, that are in danger of eternal damnation. Outside the ark with no hope or refuge now. Lord, we pray that Thou would speak when the preacher's voice is silent. Give that deciding grace. that one might close in with Christ, that one might embrace He who is the Word of life. And tonight they might be brought in repentance of their sin to the foot of the cross and accept Christ as their Savior. Hear this, our prayer. Do speak on, and Lord, we pray, for signs following the preaching of Thy Word tonight, for Thine own glory's sake, for we ask these things in our Savior's precious name.